Welcome to this July 13th, 2025 Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry Radio Church program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today, Psalm 24, The Last Generation. You know, there will be a final generation for 2,000 years. The Christian church has been maturing through the centuries, and now we are at the conclusion of the prophecies concerning Christ's second coming. There must be a time when Christ returns. It's been 2,000 years. I know back in the 1970s, my grandmother, at that time, she was in her 60s. She believed that she would be alive when Christ returned. That was the concept. That was the hope and excitement in the 70s, 60s, and 70s that Christ was near. Well, there are prophecies, events, things that must occur before he returns. He cannot return at any time. There are many friends and in general in the Pentecostal movement and evangelical churches as a whole. There are people that believe that some of the Christian people believe that Christ can return at any second. No, he can't. There are prophecies that must be fulfilled before his return. For example, the last 7-year period of tribulation and great tribulation, the wars that have to occur in the decade before he returns, which we are now in that decade. The prophecies about our time are precise, distinct, detailed, numerous, disturbing, and prophecies are always time sensitive. The title of the program today is Psalm 24, The Last Generation. It is recorded in Psalm 24. This is King David's last generation. So today, in this hour, I am going to begin in Psalm 24. And before I do, I'm going to lay down another thought. Christ in Luke 21:25, verse 25, said that there would be a time of great disturbance in societies, signs in the earth. I'm going to read out of the Message translation. I think I like it. It's a little straightforward. Beginning in verse 20. Again, Luke 21, verse 20. When you see soldiers camped all around Jerusalem, which is coming very soon, it occurred 2,000 years ago in AD 70, when the Roman soldiers surrounded Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, but it will also happen a second time. The temple presently is being once again rebuilt. There are plans for not only building the temple in Jerusalem, a temple, but sacrifice also. So going back to the verse. When you see soldiers camped all around Jerusalem, then you will know that she is about to be devastated. If you're living in Judea at the time, run for the hills. And the hills meaning run east to the hills in present-day Jordan. So run east. If you're in the city, get out quickly. If you're out in the fields, don't go home to get your coat. In other words, nothing is important except running, getting out of the area, because if you go back home to get anything, you may never escape into the Jordan. This is directed specifically against the Jewish people in Israel during the middle of the tribulation period, on the first day of the second half of the tribulation, the beginning of the great tribulation. The Jewish people, those in Jerusalem, in Judea, are to run to get out. And as they run, they're to run like madmen. They run till they can't breathe. They'll stop, catch their breath, and run again. Don't go back into your, don't go to your home to get your coat. This is the day of reckoning. Everything written about it will come to a head. Pregnant and nursing mothers will have it especially hard. Woe to them. There will be incredible misery. Torrential rage. People dropping like flies. People dragged off to prisons. Jerusalem under the boot of barbarians until the nations finish, till the nations finish what has been given them to do. It occurred in the time of, again, AD 70 with the Roman soldiers. But again, I emphasize, it will happen again. Now, verse 25. It will seem like all hell has broken loose. This is internationally. The sun, moon, stars, earth, sea, in an uproar. Everyone all over the world in a panic. The wind knocked out of them by the threat of doom. The powers that will be quaking, that are shaking. The powers that will be confronted, meaning the principalities and powers in the air. And in the King James, it says there will be perplexities, people that are perplexed. I remember taking a drive from Kansas. There was a hailstorm, and the cattle out in the fields, the hail was pretty, I don't remember, sizable, but these cattle were just beat with, I think they were probably at least golf ball size hail, and they were standing perplexed. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't run. The hail, no matter what direction they moved, hail just beating. And they were perplexed. This is the scenario that Christ is saying that will take place in the decade before his return. Things escalating. The, you know, pea-sized hail. Then the hail in the next hailstorm, a little bigger, a little larger than the following, larger in size in the following seasons, I guess you could say. We have been watching every year things change. Now, every half a year. Now, every quarter of a year. Now, it seems in America, things are changing. We don't know. You go to bed, you go to sleep. You don't know what you're going to see on the news the following morning. Madness. Perplexity. Perplexity meaning wonder. You know, you're just questions. There's confusion. There's uncertainty. Bewilderment. People are baffled, mystified. It's you can't grasp the change that is taking place in this society. It's hard to, I for my other program, This Present Truth, I look at what's happening internationally. Perplexing things. China, almost at war with Vietnam. India with the wars with Pakistan in the Middle East, and now in Africa, still in the Middle East, the war continuing, the conflict in Ukraine and Russia. Perplexing things. People are mystified. They don't know. What do you do if you are wealthy? Where do you put your money? Is your money safe? With all this new technology, with the hackers hacking into government agencies. So, again, this is the climate. This would be the environment Christ stated we would be in, especially in the decade prior of his return. We are in that decade. 3-4 years ago, I said we had about a decade, possibly. We were approaching the decade, the final decade before Christ returns. We are now in that decade. I believe we entered into that decade about 2023. And the odd part of what I see is in the seven lampstands or the seven churches of God in the United States of America, the mass of the Christian, the true Christian believers. I don't mean the apostates. I don't mean those that are nominal. In other words, they say they're Christians, but it's in name only. They're not truly born again. They do not belong to Christ. They have the Spirit of Christ is not in them. They're nominal Christians in name only. You know, I can say that I'm a policeman, and I'm, you know, where I live, I might be able to kind of watch for dogs running around without a leash, children playing in the street on the road on their bicycles, skateboards. So I can kind of, you might say, police the area, but I'm not a policeman. I am a nominal policeman. That's what's happened in Christianity, nominal Christianity. But for those who are truly believers in the seven lampstands of God in the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, all of the main denominations, in the evangelical churches, in the fundamental Christianity, they're basically focused only on the Bible, excluding gifts and prophetic teachings. Then you have the Pentecostal churches centered on gifts, signs, wonders, charismatics, a little more balanced. They do study the scripture to some degree, but still it's very emotional. Then you have with the Messianic movement, the Messianic movement in the world is very unique, centered and began its existence at the beginning of the baby boom generation, in the early 60s, 70s. And it was centered initially here in the United States. This is where it had its genesis, that movement. And it had to occur because it's in the Bible. There will be the Jewish people that are born again, working and in the same field, laboring together with the Gentile believers. This is exactly what happened in the early church in the book of Acts. Initially, it was the Jewish church. Eventually, the Gentile church was brought in. For 2,000 years, we basically had a Gentile church, but now the Jewish church is now being brought back in. And it happened in the United States during the Jesus movement. So, the Messianic churches, they do focus quite a bit on the end time events, as well as the Pentecostals and Charismatics. Catholic Church, Lutheran churches, the other denominations, not that's not the case. And so I'm going to read Psalm 24. I'm going to take you through the psalm. This is a generation that King David will speak of, one generation only. There has never been a generation in what King David presents in Psalm 24. There's never been a generation like this generation. It's never occurred before, not even at the time of Messiah, not at the time of Christ. That generation that King David is speaking of in Psalm 24 is the final generation in the decade. And the you might say since the time of Israel became a nation, but most specifically in the decade prior to the return of Israel's Messiah, the return of our Christ. So I will read it. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. The world and they, everyone who dwells in it, the whole world, all the societies, all the peoples of the world. The earth is the Lord's. Everything that is available to mankind through the fullness of what the earth has to offer on the land, through the sea, in the sea, in the air, available to all of mankind, the fullness for mankind. Verse 2. He founded it upon the seas. He established it upon the currents and the rivers. The currents for travel in the seas, for those that are ship captains. The earth, the sea being a main source of a food chain, rain, the currents in the air. Then you have the rivers. Along the rivers throughout the earth, God had ordained that the peoples of the world would set their communities, their cities, along the rivers. And this is exactly what has happened. Verse 3. The question, who shall go up into the mountain of the Lord? This is reference to Messiah. This is reference to David was looking into the future, and he knew that the Christ would come, that through his lineage, the Messiah would be born. Who would go up to the mountain of the Lord? Meaning the mountain, Mount Zion in God's heaven. Or who shall stand in his holy place? This is a reference to Christ standing before the throne of God after his ascension in the heavens, before his Father, to become the heir of all things, the apparent heir of everything. And Christ, on that day of resurrection, early in the morning, he had to ascend for the gala that would occur in the third heaven with all the angelic hosts and the powers around the throne to be transported from this planet in chariots to stand before his Father. And that occurred. And King David is looking into the future. Who shall stand in his holy place? There's only one person. Verse 4. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. This is speaking of Messiah. And David knew in his experience with God during the time that he was a child all the way to his death, he knew his God as a God, his Christ, as a Christ that had clean, his Messiah, having clean hands, a pure heart. His God who has not lifted himself up to falsehood or to what is false, nor sworn deceitfully. This is speaking of Messiah. This is speaking of our God. Verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Yes, it is speaking of Messiah, Christ himself, his what he is, who he is, but also David knew that at the same time he was experiencing was having the experience of an individual whose heart was for God. And David, through his the rest of the Psalms, would always lament concerning his impurity and how what his desire was to be pure and right and holy before God. So this is an experience that we also should have and desire. Okay. Now David says something very interesting. He says, he's looking into the future. He's prophesying, and he sees something that is, I don't know how to say, he sees something, or I'll phrase it this way. I'll just read the verse. He says, this is the generation, one time. This is the description. This is what he is viewing. Of those who seek him. And he's speaking in the previous verses of the God of Israel. Those who seek him, who inquire of and for him, and of a necessity require him. This is speaking of the last generation. There would be one generation, a final generation. And there would be a group of Hebrew and Gentile believers who would inquire of this God of Israel, and of necessity, they would seek a deep relationship with him. Why? Because of the hardships that they would go through. The whole world would go through. They would go through a unique experience of hardship because they would be targeted for extermination. And this is exactly what it says in the book of Revelation. The Jewish people as a people would be the target to be exterminated, and also the Jewish, Hebrew, and the Gentile believers would be targeted for extermination, as well as the nations. But he says here, these are those who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Then Selah. And the Selah means this is vital, it is necessary to consider. True, is this David's final view of the last generation of the individuals, Hebrew and Gentile believers, born again? And in Israel, there would be those that also would seek their God. But it would be the Christian believers, Hebrew and Gentile, that David is speaking of. Think of this, Selah. Pause and think of this. Are we in the last decade? I say we're a little 8 years plus out. We are we are now in the season of the Lord's return. Now I'll continue. Why do I say that this chapter is specifically directed at targeting the last generation, the people that are in the last generation, but specifically in the last decade? This whole chapter is very short. It's a brief chapter, 10 verses. It is presenting Christ. It is presenting the God of Israel. It is presenting the God of Jacob. Jacob was an individual who was aware of each of the destinies of his children. He was aware of the future that these children would have through the centuries. He knew that it would be his God that he met one night when he had to lay his head on a pillow, or he used a stone as a pillow, and he saw a vision, an escalator, a wide escalator, ascending, and on that wide escalator, one escalator going to the third heaven, adjoining it, an escalator coming down, and on this escalator, activity, angels going up and down. It was a ladder, but in our thinking, it was a wide escalator. And angels up and down, beholding the face of little children. And it was a fearful dream to him. And he realized that, well, actually, he could see angels ascending and descending. And in Luke, Christ said the angels would ascend and descend, beholding the reporting back to the third heaven what was happening as the angels were beholding the face of little children. And I think that Jacob realized that his children, there would be conflict all through their generations, each one. And he knew that because of his experience, his God would bring conflict to the generations, to his children. And he knew that they would, many times, they would not be faithful, though he was faithful. And it says in Deuteronomy 32, one thing that Jacob was something that set him apart from the nations was that he never had foreign gods before him. He never had foreign gods before him. And here in the time where we are, in our time, the children of Israel, they are involved with witchcraft, foreign gods, worshiping other gods, and we in the body of Christ, no different. We also are worshiping deities unknowingly or knowingly that we shouldn't be worshiping. We should not have any foreign gods before us. But with David, going back to King David, he knew the experience of Jacob, and he knew this generation would seek the God of Jacob. And then in verse 7, David states, now he's speaking to the end time nation of Israel. I'm saying that he's speaking to both Israel, and the churches. But he is speaking of the speaking to the end time generation of the Jewish people in Israel. And he says to them, he says, lift up your heads. And this would be right at the time of the return or the revelation of their Messiah. It would be right in the, I don't know, days or a month, just right at the very end prior to the revelation of who their Messiah is. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Humanly speaking, in your mind, be wide awake. Be wide awake, lift your head up, be wide awake, and consider what is about to happen. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O you age-abiding doors, that the King of Glory may come in. It's a mental thing on one hand, because the Jewish people and their tradition and their study of their scriptures, they know what their Messiah must do. He must walk through the gates to the east of the temple. They're aware of that. These doors that have been there, the gates have been sealed. I don't know, for 1,500 years, I don't know how many years, 1,000 years. The gates have been sealed. But these gates must be opened that the King of Glory may come in. Verse 8, who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. I'm trying to move a little too quickly. Who is the King of Glory? Christ states throughout the scriptures, or the scriptures have stated in Old Testament, to the apostles, to Christ himself. It is clear that in the decade and the years and the centuries before Christ returns, the prophecies concerning our time will begin to be fulfilled. One prophecy, Israel would become a nation once again. Going back a little before that, in 1945, Jeremiah stated, I don't have the verses before me, that there would be a time when God would call, the children of Israel would be scattered throughout the nations, throughout the whole globe, and into Europe specifically. There would be a time as to fulfill the prophecies of Israel becoming a nation once again, after all the roughly 2,000 years, 1,900 years, that God would begin to call to his people once again, to call to inform them that it was time to begin to move back to their homeland. And this call began, in Jeremiah it says in one translation, that God would call, then he would fish for his children, then he would hunt them down. The call went out in the late 1890s, 1880s, with Theodore Herzl, especially 1890s and early 1910. The call went out, and he was he produced plays in the theater. And he would produce these plays, and in the plays, he was telling the Jewish people in Europe, France, in that vicinity, that anti-Semitism was percolating, about to boil. The temperature of the hearts of the people in Europe were beginning to be anti-Semitic, and the waters were beginning to percolate, and eventually the water would come to a boil. He was warning the Jewish people, it was time. And many people, many Jewish people, into early 1910, 20, they realized that that Europe was not safe. God was calling. But still, many of the Jewish people, I know many Christian friends have a problem with my presenting this story this way. I don't care. They don't know the scripture. That's not my problem. Then God says, I will fish for them. And with into the 1910, 1920, early 30s, it was evident that Adolf Hitler, through that book, Mein Kampf, he was going to begin to purge the Jewish people that he could have access to. God was fishing, and the Jewish people wouldn't bite. I have a friend that wrote a book, and he was saying that, and well, I don't have to refer to his book, just going through history. The Jewish people knew there was talk throughout Europe that Hitler, should he come to power, he would begin to round up the Jewish people and eliminate them. This wasn't just a Hitler plan. This was a British, this was a European plan, and also the United States was also involved. God was fishing, but they still wouldn't bite. Many left, and they went back to harsh times. It was a harsh area. Then the hunter came. I will call. I will fish for you. I will hunt you down, and I will drive you back. I will hunt you down and drive you back. This is exactly what happened. And I know that this is unbelievable, but I will read to you Jeremiah 16:16. The verses I'm pertaining or referring, Jeremiah 16:17. Watch what comes next. I'm going to assemble a bunch of fishermen. This is God's decree. They'll go fishing for my people and pull them in for judgment. Then I'll send out a party of hunters, and they will hunt them out of the mountains, out of the hills and caves. I'm watching their every move. I haven't lost track of a single one of them, neither them nor their sins. So this is where God was saying there would come a time. This is 1940, 38, when Hitler began to round up the Jewish people, the hunter and the hunters led by Adolf Hitler began to hunt the family of Jacob throughout all of Europe. And many were able to escape, and they did get out. Many did get on boats to come to America, only to be returned back to Germany. This is the evil. But God stated this would occur. Due to this, what happens in 1948, after World War II ends, Israel now is at war in Israel, present-day Israel, against the British, to some degree the French, also the Arabs, and has to fight for her existence and to fight to become a nation once again. 1948 in May, with the vote cast at the UN by the United States of America, Israel is once again a nation after 1900 years of basically being dispersed. Prophecy must come to pass. And going back to Psalm 24, Israel becomes a nation. And they, have now basically 14 prime ministers who all of their administrations, Benjamin Netanyahu being the final one, or the current president, the prime minister. And now King David is saying that in this generation, there will come that time at the end, before Messiah's return, where many would seek the face of the God of Jacob. And then he states again in verse 7, he's referring to the gates. Then verse 8, who's this King of Glory? And his next statement is very important. Who is the King of Glory? Christ is coming to reveal himself, to present himself to the nations. He does that through prophecy, so that people will begin to question, who is the King of Glory? Who is this Christ? And it would be in the final decade where the name of the Lord and the person and the reality of who Jesus Christ or Yeshua or Jesus, the reality of who he is would begin to be proclaimed like never before in the history of mankind. And we can do that because of media. The media is going to present Christ to the nations like never before. And the media is going to attempt to stop it, to halt it, to quench it. They will not be able to. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. 8b, the long, strong and mighty. Meaning, this King of Glory is going to be at war with the nations. Or I should say, the nations are going to be at war with him. I'll read what it says in Psalm chapter 2. I'm going to use the message. I'm not real hot on this, but it explains it in a way that I can't, in a way that I think is good. Christ is going to go to war with the nations, and the nations are going to go to war with Christ. This is in Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why the big noise, nations? Why the mean and evil plots, peoples? The earth's leaders, they push for position. Demagogues and delegates meet for summit talks. The God deniers, the Messiah defiers, they say, let's get free from God, free of God. Let's cast loose from Messiah. The God of heaven, he breaks out in laughter. At first, he's amused at their presumption. Then he gets good and angry. He becomes furious, and he furiously shuts them up. Do you not know there is a king in Zion? A coronation banquet is spread for him on the holy summit. Going back to Psalm 26, this is in preparation at the end of the verses. 24:8. Who's the King of Glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Meaning, this will be at the end of the decade, right at the time of Christ's setting down to walk into that gate to be anointed. It says in another translation that he, when he comes, he walks back and forth in front of that gate, and he waits for the children of Israel to take the stones and to take everything that is keeping the gate closed. He's waiting for them. Basically, you open the gate. When you open the gate, I will come in. This is why I said earlier, in reference to your mind is a gate. If your mind is closed to Christ, if your mind is closed to this God of glory, to the God that Jacob worshiped, then he cannot come in. He cannot reveal himself to you in your ability to reason, to think, to consider. The gate is closed. But Christ is going to reveal himself from this point forward. He's been revealing himself to this day. This is the day a year ago where Donald Trump, the assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania. So here on July the 13th, 2025, the reference is very deep here in Psalm 24:6, that Christ is going to reveal himself to mankind like never before. And the kings of the earth and all that they control, the media, digital media, social platforms, no matter what they attempt to do, they will not keep the Lord from revealing himself to mankind internationally. His main way, the vehicle that Christ that Christ has ordained to present himself and to reveal himself to mankind, is prophecy. And this is why the great resistance, the great pushback against prophecy, because this is the way that the Lord Jesus has determined, Yeshua has determined to reveal himself to mankind through prophecies. The increase in individuals going to fortune tellers, palm readers, every form of witchcraft is because everyone wants to know the future. Even the high-tech personnel in the United States, in Silicon Valley, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, all these, Bill Gates, Barack Obama, they all want to know the future. They know, they are aware that Christ is returning. They see the signs. Don't think they don't read the Bible. Don't think they don't have conversations with people around them that are presenting to them that we're seeing the prophecies in the book of Revelation taking coming to pass. You cannot deny. They cannot deny. In fact, they're involved with creating this new system of cashless, a digital system. No cash. Digital. This is evident. They are aware that Christ is coming. They are. It's actually frightening to them. There was a movie out 2012. I think the movie was 2012, where the earth, the crust of the earth begins to crack open, and there's volcanoes and earthquakes. And I think that movie was, and is about these, mankind built the three great big huge ships, arcs, I guess you would call them. It's been a long time. I don't remember the details. These people that I'm speaking of that are going to actually intentionally wage war on Christ through the media, and eventually they're going to wage war with Christ at Armageddon. They're going to use every form of witchcraft, every form of technology, every form of everything. They're going to war with him at Armageddon. And these people, you know, in that movie, they're building these great, there were the floods that came. So they built these big ships. Well, I'll tell you a secret. Well, not you. It's not a secret. They're not building ships to float on water. They're building massive cities underground. This is what the Bible said. They have to obey what God said they should do. They are to build, like the wolves, they have to build dens underground. And they are feverishly, a great portion of America's budget and the budget of these very, very wealthy people. The government is building massive underground facilities, data centers, along with great food preparation, water, you name it. Because these people in the this government, they're going underground. Continuity of government, planning ahead of time to protect the government from ever, you know, being destroyed, I guess you would say, to continuity of government, always alive. Well, they're doing all this underground. They're not going to do it above ground. Revelation 6 says, these men, they go into the caves of the earth. These caves are opulent. They are magnificent. You could live underground. You would desire to live underground. You're free. You're not going to have any the crazies. This earth's surface here in this country in America, what's going to happen in this country is going to be literally like zombies. You're seeing these people that have a mental, moral crisis, and you give them an opportunity to throw rocks, to break windows, to steal, to murder. It's now in their DNA. It's in their blood. You cannot stop these people from their violence. I'm not talking about Hamas and Hezbollah. I'm talking about this new group of people here in this country, in Babylon the Great, these young Babylonians that you will not be able to control. They will resist all authority. The young Babylonians, they will not, you cannot control them. And it is a form of what we would term insanity, but it would be more along the term of, well, accepted insanity. Well, they're just young kids, or they're just, you know, protesters. No, this is accepted insanity. And this government in the United States is accepting it. And the government is trying to, is attempting to just make this conduct acceptable. They're agreeing with it. Well, now going back to the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, there is a war against God. This is evident right here in Psalm 24:6. There is a war against God also, Psalm 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Now it says, at the end of all of this, after Armageddon is over, it is concluded. Lift up your heads, O you gates, yes, lift them up, and your age-abiding doors, lift up, you age-abiding doors, that the King of Glory may come in. This will be when the world will accept the fact that Christ is King. Now, you know, there are verses that say that when Christ returns, the whole world will see his return. 30 years ago, you could not imagine. Well, you would see him return only if you were living in Jerusalem. So because the rest of the world would not be able to view it. But God in his infinite wisdom has ordained that this new way for information to get out, what we call real time. There will be cameras in, as Christ returns, in the clouds from above, the whole world, if you are linked to your iPhone, the internet, through whatever the social media may be, the world will be able to view Christ's descent from the heavens and to Jerusalem, to the War of Armageddon. You think I'm crazy? I'm not. The world will view it. It's in the scripture. Who is he then, this King of Glory? He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Consider. The world is now, with the prophecies being fulfilled, the world is now, like never before, going to begin to consider the return of Jesus Christ. They're going to consider the thought that, is he God? Because he is God. And it says that there would be a generation that would seek his face, that would seek the face of the God that Jacob worshiped. Jacob lived in fear of this God in a proper way. He feared God. He knew that his every action was viewed by God. His fear was not the kind of fear like if you're in the presence of a rattlesnake. There has to be a fear, but it wasn't that kind of fear, like that God was going to destroy him. No, he knew the prophecies that his children would be the children that would carry the knowledge and the plan of God through time, up to the time of King David. It firstly into Egypt, then from Egypt into the wilderness, from the wilderness in back into their land, and then through time. And he knew, Jacob knew, that his children were going to experience great, great difficulty. But at the very end, this king would be able to present them, well, they would be still alive, and would eventually rule the world. And that's what the devil didn't want, and mankind doesn't want. Well, I'm done with this program. My podcasts are on thispresenttruth.com, thispresenttruth.com. My contact information is Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. And again, the website is thispresenttruth.com. And there, when you go to the podcasts, you'll open up one or the other. There are two websites or two podcast sections. One is the Olive Tree and the other is This Present Truth. Well, this program is the Olive Tree program for today, July 13th, 2025. So I will end with, may the Lord God, may the Lord Jesus Christ, may the God that Jacob worshiped, may he bless you and may he keep you and may he just protect you in the coming days. May he bless you and the very, very best, and may his great, great peace be upon all of you. Amen.